In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the collect for today's feast prays, O God, who are pleased to give us the example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them, which is a pretty tall order. After all, the Holy Family was exceptional, inimitable, one might say. Joseph and Mary were indeed married, but their marriage was unlike any other. Our Lord was indeed their son, but not in the usual sense. Still, this collect and the intuition of the faithful throughout history indicate that there is, in fact, something to be imitated here, and capable of imitation. That doesn't mean dragging the Holy Family down to our level. Rather, what we encounter in a unique and unrepeatable way in the Holy Family reveals what is true for every family. First, the Holy Family begins with the love of Joseph and Mary. There are probably many, unfortunately, who see something of a fiction in the marriage of Joseph and Mary. Something like, well, Mary was going to have a baby, and therefore there needed to be a husband and father in the picture. Many works of art from the Renaissance and Baroque periods depict Joseph as rather old, not to say doddering. You can imagine the old man trying to keep up with the much younger Jesus and Mary. But art does not rise to the level of church teaching. We do not know what Joseph's age was. It is certainly not beyond God's power to grant the grace of continence to a young man in marriage, especially if it was for the most important marriage that ever existed. But God does not traffic in make-believe. Joseph and Mary loved one another with an authentic spousal love, even if it was lived out in a unique virginal manner. She entrusted herself and vowed her virginity to his protection. He gave himself in love as her spouse and guardian. What each desired for the other was the holiness to which God called them. Her sanctity inspired his generous response to God, and his protection enabled hers. Just so, the holiness of a family begins with the love of the spouses. Now, the love of the spouses, what does that mean? Certainly not the romanticized, false, modern notion of the soulmate. This theory that leads, ironically, to so much infidelity and so many broken families. No, it's not that. It's the simple spousal love that prompts them to vow permanence until death do us part, fidelity, and openness to children. The kind of love that is truly defined by self-sacrifice. It is the daily choosing to love one another that not only keeps those vows intact, but also deepens them. Second, although Joseph and Mary never had conjugal relations, they were nevertheless open to life, obviously in an exceptional way. The child born of Mary is the fruit of their union. Their marriage already existed at the time of Christ's conception. I repeat that point because that is somewhat disputed by some in the church today. Their marriage already existed at the time of Christ's conception. It was, therefore, within their marriage that he was conceived. It was due not only to Our Lady's faith in God, but also her trust in Joseph, that she could say yes, fiat, to the angel. This singular openness to life brought the Lord of life into this world. Be fruitful and multiply. That is God's first and most fundamental command. As with all his commands, it's for our good. Flouting it only brings us sadness. A couple's openness to children, and even better, their generosity in receiving them, indicates trust in God's providence and willingness to be stretched in self-giving. That openness and generosity in turn becomes a means of sanctification, of growing in trust and self-giving. The ordinary sacrifices of mothers and fathers have been woven in to the fabric of Christian holiness. Third, the Holy Family had a clear purpose, a mission. Christ had been entrusted to the marriage of Joseph and Mary. Their mutual love established the home where he was received and where he, according to the scriptures, advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. In short, their purpose was Christ. Everything about their love and their home was ordered towards him and his mission. Every family has a mission and a purpose. On a natural level, the family brings many benefits to society. And as the family unravels, we're sadly discovering how many of those benefits will be lost. But the ultimate purpose of the family is beyond this world. Indeed, as with the Holy Family, the purpose of every family is Jesus Christ. To give him a dwelling place in the home among the members, to increase in knowledge and love of him, to grow in the capacity to imitate him. And finally, the Holy Family prayed. Given the presence of the incarnate Word and the Immaculate Conception in their home, their prayer would have been unique. But in another sense, it was ordinary. They prayed as their people prayed. They knew themselves as members of God's people, and they prayed in the liturgical times, seasons, texts, and rituals handed down to them. Their prayer was ordinary also in the sense that it was simply woven into their daily life. For Joseph and Mary, to speak with God was as natural as breathing. And every family is called to prayer. Father Peyton's famous adage still holds true. The family that prays together stays together. Especially the Holy Rosary, can never give up that daily rosary as a family. But prayer brings more than just staying together physically. Prayer in the home, beginning with the spouses, brings sanctification, growing in holiness. It makes the family more attentive to God's presence and gives him more room to work in their lives. Like the Holy Family, every family's prayer should be ordinary, in that first sense that it's done according to the church's liturgical times, seasons, texts, and rituals. The domestic church, the home, this should be the place where the doctrines and the liturgy of the church take root. Family prayer should be ordinary, also in that second sense. There's nothing unusual or strange about it. It should be ordinary in the family to be aware of God's presence, to bow one's head in prayer, to give thanks and praise to the one from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.